Unit 8. Lesson 8A. Exercises 6 and 8.
In 1972, the Republican President Richard Nixon was running for re-election in the United States against rival Democrat candidate George McGovern. Early in the morning of the 17th of June, five burglars broke into the Democratic Party headquarters, located in the Watergate building in Washington, D.C. But this was no ordinary robbery. The burglars were attempting to bug phones, that is, listen in on phone calls, and steal top-secret documents. However, they were seen by a security guard who called the police. They arrived just in time to catch the burglars. It was not immediately clear that the burglars were connected to the president, though suspicions were raised when detectives found a White House phone number among the burglars' belongings, and money was discovered in one of the burglars' bank accounts that had been paid in by the Republican Party. In August, Nixon gave a speech in which he swore that he was not involved in the break-in. Though the vast majority of voters didn't condone the break-in, they didn't believe the allegations that Nixon was involved, so his reputation was not damaged, and in November he was re-elected. However, it soon became clear that he was being economical with the truth. Most historians agree that Nixon probably did not personally authorize the phone-bugging operation. However, he may have known about the break-in and acquiesced to it. What is beyond doubt is that he took steps to cover it up afterwards. For example, he raised money to bribe the burglars to remain silent, attempted to prevent the FBI from investigating the crime, and hampered their inquiry by destroying evidence. These were more serious crimes than the break-in. They were an abuse of presidential power and a deliberate obstruction of justice. Early in 1973, it was revealed that Nixon had secretly taped every conversation that took place in his office at the White House. This revelation led the police to believe that if they could get their hands on those tapes, they would have proof of the president's guilt. Despite his initial reluctance, Nixon eventually acceded to requests to surrender the tapes, but he refused to hand over all of them. Early in 1974, the cover-up began to fall apart. Several members of Nixon's staff were accused of various offenses related to the Watergate break-in. Then in July, the Supreme Court ordered Nixon to turn over the tapes. He had no option but to comply with the court order, but he continued to drag his feet. The House of Representatives voted to impeach him, in effect, sack him for obstruction of justice, abuse of power, and criminal cover-up. Finally, on the 5th of August, Nixon released the tapes, which provided undeniable evidence of his complicity in the Watergate crimes. It was almost certain now that the president would be impeached, so to avoid this, he resigned on the 8th of August. He was succeeded by Vice President Gerald Ford, who immediately pardoned Nixon for all the crimes he committed or may have committed while he was president. Historians concur with one another that the Watergate scandal had a huge impact on American politics, leading many Americans to think much more critically about their leaders, and some to lose trust in them entirely.